This is Plans, Hope, and a Future podcast with Jennifer Osborne and Tiffany Brereton. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to our podcast.
Hi, friends.
We are Jennifer Osborne and Tiffany Brereton, and otherwise known as Jen and Tiff. We're so glad you joined us. We really hope that you have thoroughly enjoyed the previous conversations that we've had on the podcast. We really want you to be encouraged. We want you to come away feeling full of hope. And we want you to come away more aware of how God shows up in your day, in the everyday, in the mundane, in the small. God is always there and concerned about all of it.
Yes.
So let's talk about last week. So last week's episode with Kenda Moss. Oh my goodness.
So good. So good. She is such a powerful lady.
Here on this podcast, we absolutely love, love, love Kenda Moss. Just a incredible woman, very transparent.
Yep.
A lot of insight.
What?
It's funny. I had a lot of stress the other day and got some things juggling right now. And when I was little, I'm just going to make a confession. When I was little, I did not memorize my multiplication tables. I don't know how I got through school, but you know.
That anyway. Can't be hard.
And the worst one for me was sevens. And so when I was really kind of stressing out the other day, and I was in, and it got into the night, I did exactly what Kenda was talking about, something that forces my brain to think. So I started reciting my seven multiplication table, sevens, and man, that worked like a dream. And then I was talking to someone yesterday, as a matter of fact, and they were talking about how they deal with stress and they don't know how to pull themselves out of the anxiety. Uh-huh. And I said, hey, I learned this neat little trick and maybe it'll work for you. And I told him about how I was reciting my sevens, my seven multiplication table, and said, you know, try saying a sentence backwards or, you know, those things that Kenda was talking about, like at CST and, you know, I work like a dream.
It's so good. I've been using it all the time. So it makes you stop and think, and that's the goal, right? Instead of letting our emotions take over and be running things, we are intentionally making our brain think. So yeah. It's been great.
Oh my gosh. It's good. It's good. And it is really super important to work on skills to handle these things when you're not going through them. So that when you are going through them, it's like, oh yeah, I just worked on this. Okay.
Yeah. It's in your tool belt.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm really thankful for her. So
amen.
Sweet lady. Sweet, kind lady. Blessed.
Yes.
Anyway.
So I ended the week before Kenda, we were talking about that I was going to get these box braids done. So I just wanted to open up and share. And I had ended basically with, like, I feel like there's going to be something God heals inside of me. So just the backstory a little bit. Last year, I had decided, or 2 years ago, I had always wanted these braids. So at home during COVID, I just took some yarn and began to braid my hair with yarn in it. Side note, I used to be a hairstylist, but doing braids, full head of braids on your own is very challenging, especially if you've never done them before. So I completed my whole head, but they were less than professional. Let's just say that. So it was part of my healing journey as well, doing it then, because I'd always wanted to do it, but I didn't do it because I had felt like my entire life that I was too much. And so doing something like that is too much, right? Like in the eyes of other people, sometimes I get looked at like I'm too much.
Right.
That's
right.
who I am, right? So I used to shrink back and try not to be too much. So, you know, that's how I dealt with that. Like, I can't be too much. So I wasn't walking in my identity. I would shrink back and be what everyone else wanted me to be. So I did these braids 2 years ago, and I went out of the house because it was a Tuesday night, and that's my night out of the house. And even driving around, I didn't get out of the car, but driving around and knowing people could see me through my windshield, I was like in full anxiety attack mode. I was not rocking them confidently. I felt super uncomfortable and super worried about what everyone else was going to think. So the very next day, I spent the entire day putting them in. So the very next day, I spent the entire day taking them out. I guess thank God for COVID that I had that luxury, but the entire day it took to take the braids out. So fast forward to about a year ago, I work at Sally Beauty Supply. So I see all these fun colors all day long. And all I want to do is play with them and change my hair a million different colors. So I'd seen this girl with this split dye. It's called, one half was pink, one half was purple. And I really loved it and wanted to do it. But again, I started wrestling with the, like, I felt like I really wanted to do it, but couldn't do it. So I just started asking myself questions like, why can't I do this? I've had a zillion different colors in my hair. Typically, if I have pops of color, though, it's underneath and or just highlights. It's not full head. So I came to the conclusion that, again, I was worried about judgment and what others think. And I just felt like the Lord placing that on my heart. Well, if anyone knows me well listening, knows that I step into these things. So then once I realized that that is what I was doing and why I couldn't do it, I had no choice but to do it. And so I did it. And, you know, it was so cool to see how far he's brought me in worrying about other people's opinions. But I still was very apprehensive walking into rooms. And it's one of those things that, you know, like everyone kind of just wants to be able to walk into a room sometimes and just kind of blend in and not draw attention, especially if you're, you know, just tired or just want to go through the motions of the day. So I didn't have that ability anymore. When I walked into a room with pink and purple hair, I was going to get attention, positive, negative, what have you. But I became very comfortable with it and wore it for a very long time. I didn't take it out like I did, you know, previously with the braids. And so now this year, my healing with my hair, because apparently that's how God talks to me, because I love all things girly and hair stuff. So it's relatable to me. I've always wanted to do these box braids, and I watch videos like my friend Jen here all the time, watching people get their hair braided and just love it and think it's so beautiful. So again, apprehension came up, but it wasn't major this time. And I just want to show you that, like, because it's, I think our healing is a journey, and it's not as hard as that initial time. So it wasn't as hard, and I knew what was happening because I had been there before. I knew that there was further healing that the Lord was going to do with me. But you know, it's been so cool that obviously I know I have all these braids on my head and fun colors and look differently than most people. But this time around, I've been confidently walking into rooms and I don't even think about it. Like, it's just me in my identity, like, and no one else thinks about it as much. I can't say no one else because I'm not inside people's heads.
Right.
There is judgment coming my way. Like, I'm not naive to know, like, it's different, you know, but their judgment doesn't even land on me because I'm walking in my identity. And before, my friends and things would have said some things because I wasn't fully walking in my identity, rocking these crazy hairstyles before. But now I am. Like, this is, my kids didn't even blink an eye. They were like, oh, just mom, you know?
Right.
It's just mom, which is cool because it is. It's just me.
Everybody should be that way, right? Do you know what I mean? With
yes.
each other.
Right. It's just me. And so that's so cool because he's been healing my identity and what's been taken from me and what I've shrunk back from for so long. And I can just be me. And
yeah.
now it's what everyone anticipates and expects from me. It's not what, you know, to dress up a room or whatever. It's just me. So it's so cool.
Yeah,
it's
I
so
love it.
Cool how God has healed me, you know, 3 years in a row now with my hair. And
well, I want to ask a question about that though.
Yeah.
You made the statement that when you were thinking about these box braids, you were apprehensive and afraid, and you said therefore you had no choice but to do it. And I just want you to explain what you mean by that. Like, what were you butting up against that made you feel like you had to do it? What was it?
Well, how I kind of, I really lean into healing. So I want to be as whole as possible this side of heaven.
Right.
And so knowing that, when I came to the conclusion that the reason I wasn't doing it is because of people's judgment, then I had to step into that and heal from that. So for me, that's not always been the wise thing to do, because I take really big steps into healing instead of just like tiptoeing or baby steps. But that's how God's kind of designed me. I walk, the first Bible verse the Lord gave me was Joshua 1:9, and it's, be strong and courageous.
Yeah.
You know, the Lord will be with me. And so that's kind of how I operate. I boldly step into things knowing that I'm going to experience some uncomfortable feelings. But I know God, as I step into it as an act of faith, God's going to meet me and heal that. And now I have the fruit and the evidence 3 years later, as I'm walking into rooms with all like hundreds of braids, I don't even know how many, but lots of braids on my head, purple and blue braids, you know, all the things that, and I'm not worried about people's judgments.
Yeah.
Even though I actually have been hearing some. So I've been hearing like, you know, oh, this person thought you were kind of crazy or whatever else. But it's not landing. It's not affecting me. So, and it's because I've taken those bold things and said, oh, I don't want my life to, I don't want to stop healing because I was uncomfortable. I want to step into the healing because God doesn't want that for me. So,
amen.
I wouldn't always suggest huge steps like that because they are very uncomfortable initially. They are, you know, really just lean on the Holy Spirit in your personality and how he's designed you, because it could be, especially early in my healing stage, very putting me into major anxiety and things like that. But now, thankfully, I'm much safer within and much wholer, that it's just a knowingness like, yeah, I got to do this. And the healing, although it's further, it's not as hard as that initial 2 years ago, couldn't get out of my car.
You know, I have found that for me, when something scares me, and I'm not talking about apprehension, like when you know there's something you want to do, but you have like warning bells, that's different than just being afraid of what people mm-hmm. will think, whatever. I have found when I butt up against that and I go ahead and step into it and I do it, mm-hmm. man, I've had some great payoffs in
yep.
that, like things I couldn't even imagine. And it tells me that fear is a liar. Fear
Amen.
Will tell you, fear will tell you all kinds of stuff. And if you've been a victim of anything, you get into this place of self-judgment and fear, and you kind of live there. It's like fear keeps me safe. Well, it's not true, but you think that, right? If I'm, you know, if I'm afraid of something, that means, you know, I got to run away. And sometimes just facing your fear, I mean, it sounds like common sense, but, you know, maybe someone doesn't know that, but facing your fears provides you freedom.
Right.
And God said he didn't give us the spirit of fear. Like we don't, that doesn't come from God.
Amen.
Fear is not of God.
Right.
And we get so ganked up by fear, what other people think. I mean, and our fears are like, whatever, you know, somebody's going to do something to me, or
right.
I'm going to lose someone, or I'm going to, you know, or whatever it is. When you know there are things you should do, there's stuff you want to do, but you're worried, you know, fear is just controlling you.
And right.
Like I said, it's different than caution. It's different than your intuition saying not to do something. That's completely different. So people hear me when I say that.
Right.
I'm just talking about judgments and
right.
How will people, what will people think of me if I do this thing that I know I should do or I want to do?
Right.
Yeah.
And that was definitely part of it for me, was fear. But another part of it was, you know, the people pleasing thing and just conforming to what people wanted me to be instead of walking fully in my identity. So that was really the big piece for me, because as I've been healing from people pleasing things, my dependency on just what the Lord says and thinks about me and feels about me has been growing, and other people's opinions of me has been lessening. So, you know, now I'm walking in my identity, fully knowing that the Lord has created me in this creative, beautiful way. And it's unique and it's different. And it, although it may be too much for others, it's very intentional from God. So I can't fully walk into my purpose and what God has for me without fully walking in my identity. Ooh. So, The Lord just been healing that people pleasing stuff. So now, you know, my dependency is on him, like what, and I don't have to worry. And so that was so debilitating for so long, and being able to walk in my identity, and so oppressive because I'm just afraid of what others will think of me.
Right. Right. Kind of like the alternative color, like you and I have bonded over that. I love, you know, I love alternative color. I love purple, and right now my favorite is seafoam green, I have to say. But anyway, so and I'll have people ask me like, oh, why'd you do that? And it's like, because it brings me joy. It brings me joy. When I see that different color in my hair, I love it and it makes me happy. And so why should I, like you said, become less in who I am so that other people will be pleased or won't judge me for wanting purple in my hair? It's, you know, it's such a simple thing, but, you know, even taking that to the extreme of like following after what you've been called into doing and other people aren't pleased that you're doing.
Right. Right. And that's what we feel like. Even as Jen and I, you know, have walked into being authors. And so that seems super confusing to people, like, you know, as we are doing something different than the masses, you know, if you will, that it's different. So people don't understand necessarily, like, what are you writing a book, or, you know, like, why are you doing that, and or whatever else. But so you're met with all that tension because it's different. You know,
right.
If you go, it's the road less traveled. And so there will be tension on those roads. But, you know, that those roads lead to freedom and they lead to liberty and they lead to walking out in our purpose. If we're so scared to step into these things, our whole entire lives, we miss it. We miss it. And Jen and I, we don't want to miss it. And so. But it can be a simple baby step. And I think we kind of ended on that, is like, try a new nail polish color, like whatever. We're all unique. So don't compare my who I am, who is sometimes extreme, to your journey, because that might not be your God design. You know, look at,
Right.
like, if it's just a nail color you've always been wanting to wear, or it's a bright red color that you love but would never wear on a sweater, you know, like, whatever that is, step into that. Step
Yeah.
into it and see how God shows up for you.
Embrace it. Yeah. Like even at some, it might be that you want to try to paint, but you feel
Right.
like you, maybe your children or your spouse or your husband, I mean, whoever you are, listening, male or female, and you want to really try something like that because it seems appealing to you. It's like paint, make a time and paint and find your joy. That, I think that's what all of this really boils down to, is find your joy. You're allowed to have joy.
Amen.
You're allowed to find those things that bless you because you are worth it. And
right.
I think as victims, sometimes we think we are not worth anything and we're not worth having stuff that blesses us. We're not worth enjoying whatever it is. And we got to get out of that mentality. We just do. Because it talks about how God knows how to give good gifts, right? It says, when my children ask for bread, I'm not going to give them a stone. No, I'm not. He's going to give us bread, right? And because that's so not who God is. And so we have to embrace that and know that when we're asking for bread, God will give us bread. He will give us what we need. He will give us things that even we don't need that bless us, you know, because
Amen.
He's our Father. He wants good for us and we're totally worth it. And we've got to change how we talk to ourselves and how we, you know, like think that we aren't worth these things that God gives us and we're not worth embracing and enjoying who we are as people.
I had
somebody say to me the other day that, and it was so funny, and I was so proud of myself.
Amen.
That, you know, I did something where I'm an information gal. If anybody knows me, I love information. If you ask me about something and I don't know it, I'm going to go pick it to death until I find out about it, because that just, it satisfies my curiosity to know. And so there was something that I was just curious to know about. And they said, why do you really need to know that? That just doesn't seem so, you know, whatever, so cool. And I said, because I want to, because that's who I am. And I love me. And that's exactly what I said out loud. And I was like, and I believed every word that was coming out of my mouth.
Yes.
Like, thank you, Lord Jesus, that you've gotten me to that point.
Yeah.
It's a huge hurdle for people that have been victimized or went through trauma. Huge, huge hurdle.
Right. And these things aren't always visible signs as to growth as others, but, you know, we feel this internally. Like, I know, because I know, because I know, because 2 years ago, I couldn't step out of that car. But I know I'm walking around just in doing my everyday daily life confidently with all these braids and color in my hair, and still think I look great, not even worried about what other people think.
Yeah.
So I know that because it's on my inside. My insides feel better. I feel better on the inside. I'm wholer on the inside. You know, like, I'm not feeling the anxiety on the inside, but other people might not know that, because they're not on the inside. So maybe it doesn't make sense to other people. Maybe, you know, and that's okay. That's okay. It's, they're on their own journey as well. But
right.
We know, because we're healing on the inside, and that's where the damage was done, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Being who we were meant to be. Like, the enemy just wants to dismantle us. His whole goal is destroying us. And if he can keep us shackled in fear, self-judgment, he's going to win that battle with us every single time.
Yes.
So,
and a resource came to mind. If anyone listening is looking for a resource about judgment, because we all struggle with self-judgment in some way or another at some point or another, or judgment towards others. And so there's this book called, now I have to remember the author's name, but it's called How to Stop the Pain. And I'm getting you that book.
I remember anyway. I remember when you were telling me about it before, and I ended up buying it because it sounded like a great book. But does it talk about like self-judgment?
Yes.
Yeah.
How to Stop the Pain by Dr. James Richard. Richards with an S. So this book is phenomenal. It's clear in the title, the pain, and then the source of the pain comes from judgment. And so if we can work on judgment and work on, you know, stopping the judgment of others and ourselves, then the pain can soften and stop. Oh, so it so is good. A great book. Great, great book. Highly recommend it. It has on Amazon, I'm looking at here, 5-star review, 508 reviews. So if every one of those 508 people say it's 5-star, there's a reason. It is gold. And you can, the chapters are small and you can get through them quickly. But man, talk about living bread. You can digest these chapters one at a time for weeks, months. Because you really soak it and eat it in, digest it in. So
yeah,
highly recommend it. As a person who does not read a lot, you will be blessed by this book.
Sorry, I was laughing when you said from someone who doesn't read a lot, who is now an author, by the way.
I know, and I really don't, but hey, I'm obedient to the Lord. So
I think it's awesome.
Yeah. Even, well, my book too, a lot of people are telling me, and it's just like me, that they're not readers and they were never readers, or they used to be a reader and they, because of my book, they start reading again, or they could get, it was the first book they got through in years. And I think, you know, that kind of comes across. I'm not a reader. I'm not a big information girl like my friend Jen here. And I don't have all the details. It's just, my book is kind of just plainly said, you know, all the things are there and there's not a lot of fluff, I think. I think that's the book for, you know, the kind of audience the Lord has directed me to.
Yeah. 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 It's not overly complicated in a way that you get lost in the details.
Right.
Right.
If you do, then yeah. No, that's you won't. You will not get lost in the details.
You won't. No. I highly recommend it. I've read it. I've actually read it multiple times because I read it in the pre-publication and then after. So yeah, it's a good book, and your story is just freaking awesome. And it's so cool to see how God has shown up in your life and brought you back to yourself. You know, he took you from that place of hiding and like you said, trying to be a people pleaser to the people around you. And then he said, no, Tiff, I don't want that for you. Mm-hmm. I don't want that for you. You're my daughter and I love you. And you're my favorite, because we're all his favorite.
Mm-hmm.
And he brought you out to where you now wear box braids. And it's really not about the braids, mind you. Now I know we're talking about that, and I hope people get, it's really not about the braids.
Not about
it's
them.
Really not about the color.
Right.
It's about coming to yourself.
Yes.
Finding joy, being yourself and being okay with who you are.
Yes.
I mean, when I was growing up, my thing was, so aside from being an info girl, I am also highly emotional. In the
she
sense that
is so sweet. She's so sweet. I love my girlfriend.
I let myself feel my emotions, and boy, do I feel them. And sometimes that can be bad. I have mm-hmm. to really, I have to let God regulate my emotions. Thank God for tools on doing that.
Amen. Thank you, Kenda.
Well, aside, she helps me with my anxiety, but like I got emotions.
Right.
Okay. So anyway, so, but when I was younger and growing up, my emotions were not welcomed. I was in a house where that was not okay. It was not okay to have feelings. It was not okay to get hurt. It was a lot of, you know, being stoic and things like that. And that's only because of patterns that were learned from generations before me,
right,
to there. So right, there's no judgment in that. I'm just saying, like, so I was really emotional. And so the message, the story that I told myself coming out of that was that my emotions were not okay. That meant, therefore, because I felt them so strongly, I was not okay. And that I needed to conform to other people's ideas of me so that they would think I was okay.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, did that mess me up for a long time. And then when I got to be an adult, God said to me one time, this was the thing that just like blew my mind. He said to me, Jen, I made you like you are on purpose.
And mm-hmm. purpose.
Your emotions, I made you emotional on purpose. And mm-hmm. I thought, oh, wow. Oh, wow. Okay. Okay. Well, if my emotions, me feel, being in touch with my emotions and all of this stuff was made on purpose with purpose, man, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to be me, man. I'm going to feel,
amen.
I'm going to say when I'm, you know, I'm going to let people know when I'm angry. I'm going to let them know when I'm sad, whatever. And emotions are not sinful, right? There's no moral value to them. It's what we do with our emotions and our actions that determine that we walk into sin, right?
Right.
So, and that was another thing I learned. Like, I was like, I went one time and dug all through the Bible about how all of the emotions that God feels, and it says God got angry, you know, mm-hmm. God turned away, and, you know, God delights in us. There's like all of these verses about how he is an emotional God. And the thing about God is he's the only thing in the world and in the universe that can feel his emotions properly or correctly, or not, that's not even the right word. Feels it in the way that he designed them to be felt.
Perfectly, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfectly. Thank you. That's good. Because sometimes my emotions, even though I feel them and they're okay and they have no moral value, sometimes my emotions don't tell me the truth of a situation. They tell right. me, they tell me how I'm feeling and that I need to figure something out. There's something going on in me. So anyway.
Right.
Boy, I felt like a tangent. I'm so sorry.
Hey, I think tangents help people, you know, us verbally processing. I think situations like, that's how I really learn, from listening to other people's situations and stories and hearing them process through it. You're like, oh, like all kinds of lights start going off in my head. Like, oh, that's, I can relate to that. So yeah. I think there's a purpose, and we're just trusting the Lord that there's purpose for all of our tangents, right? Because that's what we're kind of doing here. We're just kind of verbally processing how we've seen God and how we've seen God show up, you know? So
yeah.
We're just trusting the Lord, because that's what he said in Jeremiah 29:11, which our podcast is named after, right?
Right. And just as a funny side note, you and I are both, I think we both verbally process. And in fact, we do it so much. We have Voxer. And if for those of you who know what Voxer is, it is, it can be used like a walkie talkie. Although you can send text messages through it too.
Yeah.
We send voice messages to each other all day long sometimes. And they're so good, because, you know, talk about when someone gives you like a really good piece of advice and you just need to hear it again and again and again and again. Voxer is wonderful for that. But yeah, we verbally process with each other all the time.
Yeah, we do. Thank the Lord for Vox.
That's right. It's been used of God.
Yeah.
In our lives.
God uses everything. And there you go.
I'm telling you.
A tool that God has used for us.
Yeah. That's so funny. Well, folks, it looks like we're getting to the end of our time. We just want to say we appreciate
you
taking the time to listen and share whatever, you know, a little bit of your life with us, or we could, you know, well, actually that we're, yeah, you're bringing us into your life, I should say.
Yes.
That's wonderful. And we just want to say thank you. And we hope that you come away from this feeling encouraged,
mm-hmm.
feeling hope, and feeling loved, because you are greatly greatly, greatly loved. Never forget that.
Yes. And we're praying that you see God in all the small things and the big things in your day as well.
Yes, absolutely.
So thank you. Thank you for listening. And thank you for sharing with, you know, a friend that you really think maybe a topic we talk about would impact them. So
right.
The more you share, the more we can get out the word of God and what and how we can hear from him in our everyday lives.
Yeah, exactly. All right, folks, we'll see you later.
Bye, friends.
You've been listening to the Plans, Hope, and a Future podcast with Jennifer Osborne and Tiffany Brereton. Podcast copyright 2022, Parable Road, LLC.